Now we have a blessing. Our brother Lou is going to come up and give us a message. So come on up, Lou, and let's see what the Holy Spirit is giving you for us.
Morning, everyone. Our sermon scripture this morning comes from Philippians. If you could open up your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 6 and 7. Although our message today is also going to include Matthew, our sermon scripture. But right now, let's look at Philippians 4, 6, 7. And Philippians 4, 6, 7 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind and minds through Christ Jesus." Before we look at the text, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your sovereignty. We thank you for your providence. We thank you for this church. We thank you for the wonderful Bible study we had downstairs. We thank you for the things that we're convicted of, Lord. Holy Spirit, I pray that you open up our minds and hearts to the truth of your word, Lord. And I pray that you take over this message, that you help me with it, Lord. And I pray that if there's anybody here or online listening that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, that today might be the day that they call upon your name and start the road to salvation. Romans 10:13 says, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And it's that simple. That's the starting point. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. And we sang that song, that hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." Just a beautiful hymn. And is it really well with our souls? You know, brothers and sisters, today's message is titled, "Why Do We Worry?" Ever notice how our worry creeps into our lives? How it just happens? You seem to be, things are good one day, the next day you're worried about something, or even that same day. And there's certainly plenty to worry about, isn't it? Today we're going to look at why we worry, and more importantly, what does God's word say about it, and how the gospel promises what God gives us, the freedom to live in peace and trust, something that we can't do on our own. So let me just begin with a few honest questions for all of us here today. When was the last time that a particular worry kept you up at night, distracted you during the day? You know, maybe you received some difficult news about your health, news about the health of a child. You know, maybe you're struggling with finances. Maybe you're worried about the state of our nation. Pastor prayed about it before. But there's so much going on in the world, so many things that can cause you to worry. There's wars going on. There's so much confusion in the world. And what's your first response? Or what's our first response? Do we immediately run to the Lord? Is that really what we do? Do we go in a place of prayer? Now, chances are that that's not the case. Most of us will try to figure it out on our own. We want to fix it. We want to control it ourselves. Is that true for you? Have you all been there? We've all been guilty of doing just that. Think about it. We're all guilty. These are questions, you know, these questions are not meant to condemn anybody. but just to merely awaken us all of what our sin is. We worry about our children. Anyone here worry about our unsaved loved ones? We all have them in our family. We pray for them every day. I know I'm guilty. We worry about providing for our families. We worry about the economy. When things feel uncertain, we worry about the influence of today's culture, the impact that it's having on this generation and generations to come, and a thousand other things that overtake our minds and definitely rob us of our joy. Isn't that exactly what worry does? Doesn't it rob you of your joy, the peace that we want in Christ? It takes it away from us. I'll speak for myself, but I've been guilty of chasing down rabbit holes of conspiracies. I'm probably not the only one. Political speculation, scenarios like what if this, what if that, things that we see on the news, social media. We discuss these things amongst each other. We discuss them with our family members. We talk about them like we have some sort of control, like we can make things happen. We worry about our jobs. We worry about our reputation. We even worry about what others think of us. Am I a good enough Christian? Is that person a better Christian than me? We worry whether we're doing a good enough job as parents, as grandparents, as believers. You know, to any parents or grandparents here, you ever lie awake in the middle of the night wondering if your children will walk with the Lord? You know, this world is so openly hostile to the Christian faith. We see Christianity being, we see the Christian faith that we hold so dearly in our lives. We see it under constant attack. The reality and assurance for all of this is, you know, the pastor talked about it downstairs in our Bible study, but God is sovereign and he is in control of everything. That's a full stop. We might not always understand it. We might not understand his ways, but his ways are not our ways. But we want them to be. We struggle with that. It's our human nature. It's our sinful human nature. And when it comes to political leaders, the Bible is very clear that God raises up kings and he takes them down. You know, this has happened through history. It hasn't happened just in our lifetime. The book of Daniel, chapter 2, 21, makes it perfectly clear. And it says, he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. So he's in control of everything. Every drop of rain. We talked about the weather downstairs. We talk about the fact that we complain even about the weather. Sometimes we want sun, we get rain. Sometimes we want rain, we get sun. Sometimes we get snow, right? But, you know, Arthur Pink has a great quote in the book, The Sovereignty of God, that says, when we complain about the weather, we're murmuring against God. So there's nothing that happens that's not under God's decree, nothing. And Psalm 115:3 declares, but our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. No, that might be difficult to understand, but that's the reality. He is all powerful. And another question, is it normal for a believer to worry? And most believers struggle with worry, even though the scripture calls it a sin. It's like it's almost as I was listening to the Bible study downstairs, I was thinking about some of the things that the pastor was talking about, and a lot of it was related to today's message. That must be a coincidence. Obviously, that's not true. But we live in a fallen world. It's full of uncertainty, and worry can feel natural. And we're currently living in some of the most exciting yet scary times of at least of my lifetime. We have technology today that we could have never imagined 20, 30 years ago. And what is the future going to bring? You know, technology has brought a lot of incredible improvements to our daily life, to the medical field, to so many different fields, that things that we experience today that we didn't have in the past, things that we take for granted, our telephones, you know, GPS in a car. But it also has and had a profound negative impact, especially on our children. And we can easily see the confusion. Can we see the confusion all around us with our kids? We see it on television, smartphones, social media. You know, they're constantly portraying a world in turmoil, chaos, uncertainty. But the reality, again, is that God is in control. Social media is training our minds to stay anxious. And if we take our eyes off the cross, how easy is it that we spiral out of control? As believing Christians, we know that God is sovereign. He provides, He choreographs everything in our lives with perfect wisdom and love. The reality is that we fail to fully trust Him. That's the truth. It doesn't mean that we're unaffected when trials come and anxiety kicks in, because there's definitely things that happen in our lives that cause us to go into that state. And we will carry that sinful nature with us for the rest of our lives until we're in His glory. But Jesus, however, does not treat worry lightly. Listen to the words that the pastor read earlier in Matthew 6:25, where Jesus himself says, "Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" This wasn't a suggestion from Jesus. This was a command. So what is worry really? Worry is a form of sin. When we worry, despite this command, we're essentially saying, "I don't trust you, Lord." That's what we're doing. Worry reveals that we believe that our problems are bigger than our God. Do we not realize that God is bigger than any problem that we can bring to Him? Ultimately, we're trying to carry these burdens on our own. And how does that work out for us? Not good, right? It doesn't work. We were never meant to carry it on our own. Without Christ, we don't have the strength. We just don't. But with Him, what does Philippians 4:13 says? "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And that's where we need to go. So let me ask you another question. Do you personally view problems bigger than God? Because if you do, then you know what you need to do. When you look at your circumstances, do you see a roadblock? Do you see a huge mountain in your way, a big mountain in front of you that's stopping you? Or do you see the sovereign Father, who is nailed to that cross, who is greater than any mountain? A father that can move that mountain out of your way. And Jesus continues in Matthew 6 with a beautiful and logical argument. Listen to what he says in Matthew 6:26. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? He points to the birds in the air. He knows that we have more value. Those birds in the air are there for our pleasure. He put them there for us. We have a Father that knew us before the foundation of the world. I mean, it's impossible to, you know, to for us to grasp that thought. So, do you consider yourself more valuable than the birds of the air? If you do, read that verse again. And in verse 28, Jesus says, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And he continues in verse 29, and he says, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And in verse 30, he says, now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? That's what he's saying to us when we worry. O you of little faith. Jesus is not scolding us here. He is kindly exposing our unbelief. He calls us, O you of little faith. So worry is the opposite of faith. In those moments of unbelief, what does that say about us? It might sound harsh, but unbelief, if unbelief is a sin, if it wasn't for his grace, right, we wouldn't be here. The patience he shows us. We say we believe God is sovereign. We read Bible verses here. We read them downstairs. But worry says we're not sure he will come through for us. So here's another question. Who's shaping your life? Are we more shaped by the news, by TV, by social media, by the endless scroll of your phones than we are by this Bible, God's word that he left for us? Do we spend more time online than we do refreshing our souls in scripture and prayer? And what purpose does that serve us to do that? And then in verse 33, Jesus gives us the cure. And he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. There it is. That's the antidote. He is the antidote. The answer to the worry is not denial or positive thinking. The answer is reorganizing our lives around the kingdom. When the kingdom is first, doesn't worry just lose its grip. When you make a commitment to pick up your Bible, to come to church, to go to a Bible study, to put things that we learn into application, it's impossible for worry to take over your life. I'm going to look at our sermon scripture again, Philippians 4, 6, 7, where it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's talk about the Apostle Paul, who faced the possibility of death daily. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked. He was stoned, imprisoned multiple times, starved. Paul gives us full details of all his trials, of some of his trials in 2 Corinthians 11. It says he was beaten with rods. He was shipwrecked three times. Perils of rovers, perils of countrymen, perils of the Gentiles. Here's a definition of perils. Perils is serious and immediate danger. That's what Paul dealt with. Or specific events that cause harm, loss, or destruction. And yet, from a dark, damp, horrific prison cell, he writes one of the most joyful letters in the New Testament. From that hardship, he gives the church at Philippi and all of us here today an encouragement and a command. So regardless of what's happening in your life, pray about it. That's what Paul says. Bring everything to God with thanksgiving, and he will sustain you. Bring everything to him. Whatever your worries are, whatever's going on in your life, whatever's going on in the lives of your family, you don't have control over it, but God does. So bring it to him. His peace will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, Paul had every reason, every human reason to be anxious. He didn't know if he would live or die from day to day. He didn't know if he would see churches again. Can you imagine what that life must have been like for Paul? You know, we think we have it bad with the luxuries of our time. Imagine, he's beaten, shipwrecked, stoned. You name it, everything happens to him. And he declares, be anxious for nothing. You know, Paul sets the bar pretty high. Doesn't make it easy for us. But how did he do it? He did it because he was in Christ. And we have that same power if we are in Christ as well. You can do the same thing. But we can't do it alone. And this was not, you know, just positive thinking. This was a life fully dedicated to the Lord. That's what Paul did after he was regenerated. Paul understood the assignment that God had given him. Imagine writing words of encouragement while chained, beaten, and malnourished. So if Paul can do that by the grace of God, well, we can apply those truths to our life daily as well. When trials come, do we run immediately to the Lord? Well, we already answered that before. We don't. We try to figure out on our own. We try to manage, manipulate, and we worry. We try to worry our way out of our problems. And again, it doesn't end well. But when we humble ourselves in prayer and submit our worries to Christ, all things are possible. He is the only one. He is the only one that can truly help. If you're not a believer, it's hard to understand that peace. And did you notice the progression in verse 6 where he says prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving? So prayer is the general communion with God. Supplication is specific. It's an earnest request. It's a humble petition. And thanksgiving is a level of gratitude. It acknowledges God's goodness even before the answer comes. We saw that example with our sister Libby downstairs in the Bible study. And a few weeks ago, I saw that example with Judy before Mario went into surgery. I asked her how she was doing. How was she holding up? And the answer was, it was a perfect biblical answer. God is sovereign and he's in control. So, you know, you got to put your trust in the Lord, the one that died on the cross for you, on that bloody cross. Brothers and sisters, we're blood bought. We're purchased with a heavy price. We have a God that can not only help, but he delights in helping us. He has unending love for his own. And Paul does not he does not deny the reality of his trials. He knew suffering ultimately and intimately. But he also knew the promise that he had written earlier in Romans 8:28. And most of us here know that verse well. And we know all things work together for good for those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. But notice the first three words of that verse, and we know. So this is not wishful thinking. It's not optimistic thinking. It's a confident assurance. The pastor says this all the time in our Bible study, specifically with this verse. So if you're in Christ, that verse applies to you, all things. But it includes joys, it includes sorrow, it includes successes and failures, it includes blessings and afflictions. You know, God does not promise that everything will feel good, but he sovereignly works all things for our ultimate good. So this verse tells us that God is orchestrating every purpose, even the things that we consider bad. You know, he had a plan for Paul's life. He had a plan for him to suffer, for him to be beaten, to be shipwrecked, to be imprisoned. I don't think any of us here would want to take on the task that Paul took on. But here's a key question for every believer. Do you truly believe that God is working, even in your current trials, for your good? Or are you demanding that God explain himself before you trust him? Do we not live by explanations? We live by promises. So Romans 8:28 is a staple verse in this church. I lost count how many times we heard that verse. I can't say that I heard it so many times ever in my life until I came to this church. But this verse is the cornerstone of God's providence. And if you continue reading in chapter 8, the promise is laid out for us, where it says, nothing will separate us from from the love of God. So think about that. Can anything be better than that? Nothing will ever separate us from the love of God. Listen to what Romans 8:38 and 39 says. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So how do we build that same confidence that Paul had? Well, we can't do it on our own, right? We run to the cross. We cling to Christ. We go in prayer. When the weight of the world feels too heavy, we have to place God in the center of our trials. Now, our brother Joe is not here today, but he often reminds us in our Bible studies to put God in every equation of our lives. We have a complete scripture. We have God's word that he left for us. It's a roadmap for our life. But it's not a book that's going to read itself. You have to pick it up. You have to make a decision to pick it up. It's not a coffee table book. It's not a decoration to put at home for others to see. It's life-changing. So, you know, brothers and sisters, we all have responsibilities. We can't just assume that God's in control of everything and we just don't have anything to do on our part. We have things that we're called to do. We must work. We must provide for our families. We must protect them. So the message is here today is not to ignore the responsibilities that we have. You know, 1 Timothy 5:8 is clear on that. And it says, but if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Some pretty harsh words. That verse says that you have denied your faith and worse than an unbeliever. So the responsibilities are real. The Bible calls us to plan and act wisely. Yet we do so without sinful anxiety by putting our faith in Christ. So there's a difference between godly concern that leads us to wise action and sinful worry that leads us to unbelief. You know, that peace that surpasses all understanding can only come from Christ. And as believers, we've already seen evidence of that. We've seen evidence, you know, the pastor said it this morning in a Bible study. Look in the mirror. If you're saved, look in the mirror. That's an example right there. That's a testimony that you've been transformed. He's our healer. He's our physician. He's our provider. But friends, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, if you don't know Him as your Lord and Savior, you're here for a reason. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, no, not one. But you're not beyond hope. Christ came to save sinners just like you and me. And Romans 10:13 declares, for all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you recognize you're a sinner in need of a Savior, you call on Him, you do it with a contrite heart, and you'll forever be in His grip. He'll never let you go. John 6:37 assures us of that. It says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. That's it. You belong to Him. You have a new life. You'll never be the same. The weight of the world that is weighing you down will grow lighter with Him by your side. And for my brothers and sisters in Christ, stay in the Word, come to church, attend Bible studies. Surround yourself with fellow believers who will pray, lift you up, and hold you accountable when the time comes. Cling to the cross. Cling to Christ. Your debt has been paid. Your sin has been paid. You are never alone. God cares for you. You're made in His image. And can you add anything to your life by worrying? Bible told us, right? Matthew 6:27, by which of you by worrying could add one cubit to his stature? And in Matthew 6:34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things, sufficient for the day its own trouble. So these are not suggestions, these are commands. So what does worry do in our lives? It ultimately, well, we're sinning against God, but it creates a distance between us and God. We worry because we forget who He is. There's a big difference in believing in God. A lot of people say that they believe in God, but there's a big difference between saying, I believe in God, and believing God. If He cares for the birds and the lilies, how much more will He care for His sons and daughters? Our antidote to worry is not positive thinking. It is Christ and trust in the kingdom of God. Martin Luther said, I have held many things in my hands and have lost them all. But whatever I placed in God's hands, that I still possess. If God called you out of the dark world, He has a plan for your life. Now, we talked about Jeremiah 29:11 downstairs, but Jeremiah 29:11, 13 reminds us of God's plans. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. The reality is that we don't live for this world. We live for the world to come. Whenever our runway of life ends, we will enter into his glory with confidence. Isn't that, aren't those the words that we want to hear? Well done, my good and faithful servant. We don't want to hear, well, you've been worried all your life. You didn't really trust me. Yes, we're going to worry at times. It's part of our sinful nature. But be wary that prolonged worry questions God's power and his goodness. And God, who is rich in mercy and his kindness, allows us to experience trials in our life, sometimes putting those trials in our path, ultimately to draw us closer to him. That's really the reason. So replace your worry with prayer, with worship and thanksgiving. Preach the gospel to yourself daily. Remember that Christ voluntarily went to the cross for you. How's that for an application? Every time something happens in your life and you're whining about whatever it is, remember that he died on that cross for you. You are his chosen. He'll never cast you out. He will strengthen you. You know, the commands, fear not, do not be afraid, be anxious for nothing. They appear in scriptures many, many times. I believe it's something like 365 times that that they appear in scriptures. It's one for each day. You think it's important that those are there? Preach them to yourself and preach them to others. They comfort our anxious hearts and ultimately glorify God. And here's a few closing thoughts. Make a commitment this week to bring one specific worry, something you've been dealing with. Go to the Lord in prayer. Do it every day with thanksgiving. Dedicate a portion of your time to go in a place of prayer. For any parents and grandparents, train your children to cast their troubles on the Lord. Because if you don't, the world will educate them in ways that you don't want. Will you commit to limiting the voices that feed your anxiety, the news, social media, and commit your life to staying in God's word? I tell you that occasionally, I take a fast from social media, from television, from news, from everything, whether it's for a week or 2 weeks or three. And it's freeing when you do that. I know I've had conversations with a pastor where he doesn't even watch the news anymore. And so what does that do to you when that happens? Well, you pick this book up instead. Also, if you don't have an application Bible, I think it's important. Everybody should have one. And if you don't have one, please see the pastor. Pastor Brian, I'm sure we'll give you one. Let's look at the final verse of Philippians 4:7. And it says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So don't try to carry it on your own. Christ is the only one that can fill us with the peace that we long for. I'll close with a quote that's in today's bulletin, where it says, this is from R.C. Sproul, where it says, "Worry is believing God gets it wrong." Think about that quote. When we worry, we believe that God is not powerful. We believe that he gets it wrong. I'm going to ask the pastor if he can come up and close the service.
Thank you, brother. And I'd remind you that Jesus said, "I have come to give you my peace, which passes understanding." And that peace is something that you can't buy, you can't generate. It only comes through loving God enough to submit and obey him. What a wonderful message for all of us here to take home on be anxious for nothing. And it is written in the imperative tense. It has the same power as the first commandment. So take that home and don't fret.